Thanks for listening to this podcast of Trending with Timory. If you haven't already subscribed, please catch us wherever you love to listen to your podcast, from the Relevant Radio app to Apple, YouTube, you name it, we are there. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to go and give us a 5-star review to help other people discover the podcast. Anything you share in terms of episodes, whether it's texting it to a friend, posting on social media, helps to build up the kingdom for God, to help confront the challenging issues we face as a culture, but with joy, with hope, and with an eternal perspective where our faith collides with everyday life, bringing eternal principles to help us live our life joyfully. Today is the feast day of one of my favorite saints, St. Edith Stein, known as St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross. If you know nothing about her, she is truly a saint. I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you before, who has chased me down in my life. Time and time again, people tell me, you have to read St. Edith Stein. You need to hear this. You need to read this book of hers. And I knew nothing of her. People just say her name. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, someone would give me a holy card of hers. Someone would give me a book of hers. And finally, I think about 4 years ago, I started to dive into this great saint. Actually, it's been longer than that. Anyways, 4 or 5 years ago. And she was an incredible human being. She grew up Jewish. She grew up in a Jewish family. She ended up becoming an agnostic. She became very deeply involved in academia, became a philosopher, ended up converting to Catholicism, and became a Catholic nun, as did one of her sisters. Her family could not understand how she could kind of betray the family roots of Judaism and become a Catholic. Well, lo and behold, she ended up being captured by Nazis and died during World War II in Auschwitz. And here this Catholic nun, former Catholic philosopher and teacher and laywoman, had so much to say about the human person, human anthropology, what it meant to be a woman, and what it meant to be a man. And some of my favorite work of hers is when she talks about ultimately what is referred to as St. Edith Stein's Science of the Cross. And it's this theme of fastening yourself to the cross, attaching yourself to the cross. And joining me now is Jim O'Day from Integrity Restored. You can find them at integrityrestored.com. We'll post links on social media. And we're going to dive in together to this idea of being fastened to the cross, which sounds, Jim, pretty morbid during our weekly happy hour, but it makes sense.
Well, this was a Holy Spirit thing when you and I connected this morning to talk about this. Because if you think about the topic we just discussed, fear versus joy, and then you think about what it means to fasten yourself to the cross, or to embrace your cross, it means the same thing, Timory.
Yes.
It it has nothing to do with feelings. You're not going to like it. We all have crosses. We all have struggles. We all have suffering. St. Matthew tells us, take up your cross. Our human instinct is to run from that. So what is he asking us to do? Well, the first thing he's asking us to do, like we talked about earlier, is to accept, isn't it?
It's so true.
Accept.
It's so hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, accept your cross. The simple recognition, this is my opinion, but the simple recognition, regardless of whether or not I chose this to happen, it's still going to be there. So you don't have to like it, but you have to accept it. Because when you accept it, then there is a chance, like the samurai said, for you to eliminate that fear of it.
It's true. You know, it's interesting you say that, because I was talking to a friend of our family who's a priest just a week or two ago, and he was saying, I don't know if I can go on with things like that. He, you know, he's living in a very difficult area in terms of, you know, his priesthood. And he was just talking about how, like, I don't know if I can continue to be a priest in this specific type of environment. And I think it's so easy for us. And this is something I said. I think it's easy for us to take a snapshot at certain moments in our life and say, yeah, this is great. This is how I always want life to be. But then there are other moments where we could take a snapshot, and if I were to look and say, well, yeah, I don't think I can do this for 20 more years, I think there are a lot of moments in our lives where if we were to do exactly what we were doing in that snapshot for 20 more years, most of us would say, forget it, I'm done. But the reality is the challenging moments do pass. They transform us, and even when they do last longer than we want them to, they shape and mold us in a very unique way that it doesn't seem like the challenge that it originally was.
That is the amazing thing. God uses all things for good. If we recognize that and build our life around that, whatever that cross is at that moment, knowing that that is going to help you in the future, no matter how painful. It kind of gives it value, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the things we always try and do is, like you said, we focus on these little moments of, man, if it could always stay like this, I'm just so happy right now.
Or look at so-and-so's life right now. They have it so much easier. They have this, that, and the other thing that I wish I had.
And you have no idea if their life is easier or not.
Right.
We don't know the challenges most people have.
You know,
because
it is true.
Particularly in today's
greener.
Society.
Yeah, grass is always greener on the other side. You know, I think as we're thinking about this, one of the quotes that stood out for me from St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross is, she says, the love of the cross in no way contradicts being a joyful child of God. Now, this is a very important perspective for us to have, because I think so often we think, well, here St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross, Edith Steiner, saint of the day, talks about her science of the cross, being fastening yourself to the cross, and that sounds really morbid. You know, I think the first time I read those words, fasten yourself to your cross, I imagined literally one hand going up on the cross, looking at Jesus, and then the other hand going up on the cross, and then my hand being nailed into that cross, and the other one, and then thinking about the feet and the wounds in the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then even then, I don't get it, because then you feel the weight of your whole body hanging limp upon the cross, all of the weight being pulled down on the wounds. And then you think about how he just went through all of the lashes and the crowning of the thorns and what he saw the night before in the Garden of Gethsemane, all the sins of the world, that he would still make it to that point. That's just a glimpse, once we think about all of this, of being fastened to the cross. This is what St. Edith Stein is talking about. Now, it's fascinating because this saint who wrote about the science of the cross ultimately would die during World War II in Auschwitz. The most horrific, torturous type of death one could endure. And before she got there, I think God was preparing her. God was preparing the people she wrote to, the people she taught. She would say, love of the cross in no way contradicts being a joyful child of God. Well, because with this, that includes trust. With this, that includes understanding my own value. With this, understands the fulfillment that my life has by culminating in God. The very climax, the very end of our lives, the purpose in the beginning is to be with God. This is what St. Edith Stein is talking about. And so there's another quote from her, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, Jim. Helping Christ, she says, helping Christ carry this cross fills one with a strong and pure joy. How is it that she was able to say this with everything that she endured, the life that she lived in the midst of World War II? Helping Christ carry his cross fills one with a strong and pure joy. What does it mean to have that strong and pure joy?
It's an interesting, I think it was Joseph Ratzinger before he was Pope Benedict. And he said, you know you are doing something right when your cross no longer feels like pain, it feels like love. And that kind of always gave me chills, that quote. And we think of that beautiful song we sing at Lent, lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. When Jesus saw that cross, it the way he thought about it, he knew the pain, he knew the suffering, he knew the humility, he knew all that. But when he saw the cross, he saw love for us. That's what he saw. And so I think that's how this incredible saint was able to, through a gift of the Holy Spirit, no doubt, mm-hmm. understand that. That yeah. sometimes pain and suffering is love.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, I think of the perfect image of this is so often, and if you haven't seen this before, we should post one. Lucas, post one if you can on social media, of St. John Paul II, where he'd see a crucifix and he would walk up to it and he would embrace it and he would hug that cross and he would engulf the cross in his arms. We see that as a symbol of absolute love and dedication to our Lord. But when you think about what that cross is and what St. John Paul II's life was, he lived during World War II, Nazi occupation. He lived under the regime of communism. His life was under a microscope for all that time by the Chinese. He saw his mother died, his father died, his brother died. He became an orphan. He saw his friends, his loved ones destroyed. He grew up in a priesthood underground. And yet here he is and he's talking about the cross. You know something's right when it's no longer pain but only love. I think that is what I think drew saints like St. John Paul II and St. Judith Stein, who were contemporaries of one another, even though they didn't know each other. I know that St. John Paul II knew her work because you see this life and the sacrificial love that complements one another in so much of the saints who lived during that time period.
Well, and I think that you just, in a really important sometimes maybe our cross is something physical and painful and horrible or something emotional, but sometimes our cross can be our families. And yet we have to love them. That's what we're called to do. And so many people who call me, particularly wives who are suffering from betrayal trauma, they're so angry that it's hard to remember any love was ever in that marriage.
Right.
But they did get married for a reason. And now it's very tough, but that's when you have to fall back on that love. And I think anytime we're carrying a cross, whatever that cross is at that moment in our life, hate it. I'm not going to say you're going to like it. You're not. But look, where is the opportunity for love in this struggle, in this weight, in this pain? Where is the opportunity for me to love?
Amen. You know, there are two examples I want to touch on with you, Jim, before you go, that St. Edith Stein commented on. She talked about two types of crosses being lived out. One is growing into a cross that she says is perhaps a quiet, lifelong martyrdom of which no one has any idea of, where, you know, you are suffering. Maybe it could be something physical. Maybe it could be something spiritual, doctrine of the soul, like St. Mother Teresa, or something happening in your family that, you know, people really don't know about. That's one type of cross where it's silently lived out. And then she gives us another type of cross, or it could be the person who's zealously striving for God's glory, unfailingly evokes a bitter opposition to his plan. So there's this public persecution, you might say. And I think that sometimes we miss the fact that there are multiple types of crosses, and that one can be silently endured. And often all of us have this silent endurance of a type of cross, even if it is just self-denial and overcoming some particular sin that we ourselves struggle with.
There is not a human walking the face of the earth today that doesn't have that. We all have, if we're believers, some sin, some vice, some struggle in our life that could be a lifelong cross that we're carrying. But then there could be other crosses as well. And so, like going back to our fear versus joy, there's certain things we have to accept. I tell people all the time in recovery from pornography addiction, if you're tempted, that's not a sin.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's what you do with that temptation.
Yes.
And it will be the same thing with a lot of our crosses that we carry. If one of them is anger and treating our family, our wife, or our kids poorly, or being short with them all the time, the temptation to do that is not the sin. Bite your tongue. You've just eliminated the sin.
Amen. And you make it sound so simple. It is, and it is not. And I think that sometimes we miss that the quiet martyrdom is that self-sacrifice and that self-denial. And this is what is so powerful about St. Edith Stein today on her feast day. Fasten yourself to the cross. Fasten yourself to your cross that God has given you. Choose that self-denial. Choose that self-mortification. We pray that we will be able to walk in the footsteps of the great saints, such as St. Edith Stein, St. John Paul II, who lived in the midst of a culture not that far removed from us ourselves,